This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm conducting a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview. Today's date is July 20th, 2009. It is now 8:48 in the morning, and I'm at the Ohio Reformatory for Women in Marysville, Ohio, and I'm conducting an interview with Joy Major. And Joy, thank you so much for agreeing to do this interview with me. I am so excited.
You're welcome.
So let's start off by please telling me why you're here.
In 1996, I met a gentleman by the name of Donald Hoop, and I married him within 2 weeks, something I usually didn't make a practice of doing. A year later, he was murdered in the parking lot of my business, and 1 year later, I was convicted of the homicide. So I was charged with 4 counts of capital murder with 8 death penalty specifications. And I was convicted of 3 counts of aggravated murder and 5 death penalty specifications. The jury did not impose the death penalty. However, they did impose a mandatory sentence of 25 to life, and I have to do 25 years day for day before my first statutory eligibility for parole. So that's how I got to the Ohio Reformatory.
All right, so now let's move on. Tell me about your quilt Hands of Time.
I was invited by Chaplain Burns, she works at our religious service department, to work with the quilt project with Sacred Threads. And at first, I wasn't so sure I wanted to do it because it stirs up a lot of emotions and a lot of old past stuff I wasn't sure I wanted to deal with. And I talked to Dr. Tinch over at Mental Health, and she thought it would be an awesome idea and offered to support me in any way she could, where she could when I worked on the project. So I tried to come up with a title and a quilt that would be in some way part of my journey here. So I thought Hands of Time because to me it was all about expressing what time here is like, time before I got here and even time into the future. So I thought Hands of Time would be able to illustrate that for me. And I wrote this little poem about Hands of Time, and it's a way that the hands turn slowly here. And if I could turn the hands back, things would be a lot differently. And as I started working on it, I found it so unusual that even though I've been here for 12 years, some days the time passed so quickly that I can't believe it's been. And then other times it seems like one day can be an eternity. So I started to pick out material and stuff for my quilt. And the most obvious piece that I found was this brick wall. And to me, the brick just represented a stopping point, a confinement of it all. So I worked around it, and I put the brick on. And then I started thinking about the clock. So I put the clock on, and I used each little scrap of material that we could find because all of the things that we had here was donated in some kind of way. So I collected all of the beige or the white pieces, and I tried to make it as diverse as possible because I found that the people here are just that. Everybody is so individual. So I began stitching these pieces together, and I didn't know how to quilt. I had made a couple quilting projects before that. I didn't have any lessons for quilting, that's probably obvious, but I decided just to start sewing it together how I thought it would go together. And then I put the little ticks on here, the little time markers, to show how time passes here. And then I found these little black and white pieces. And when I was first convicted, this is what my prison uniform looked like. It was seriously like the old-time prison uniforms on television. So I put that one on next. And I kept stitching and stitching because there's such an enormous amount of time here that I had more time than I had materials. So I wanted to use the materials wisely and use the thread wisely. And plus, it felt real meditating to me, too. Just keep sewing and sewing. So I put that on, and then I stopped to think about what this all meant to me and how I actually got here. And I thought that it was because of my big mouth, because that's why I put this here, because frequently my lesson was all about saying things before I thought about things. And I put my initials here and my husband's initials here. And I showed what love was all about, and I show what murder can do. And I placed lies over there because there was so much lies involved in the whole relationship, the trial, the conviction, and everything. I always had hope for release and redemption, so I put it over here. And on this, I just wanted to show that drugs and crime would surely provide this 25 to life sentence. And these little markers are just periods of time that I measured, okay? And then it kind of got dark for me, so I decided, no, I need to do something else. So in my mental health work, they always wanted to suggest things about your childhood. So we excavated my inner child, and her name is Star. So when I found this little bright piece of star material, I absolutely had to have it to put it on there. So Star became part of the quilt. And then I found this little clock piece, and I thought, oh, well, that must be part of it too. So each week when I would go to the quilting class, we would be able to pick up another little piece of material. And I just found this little clock to be part of it. And if the pieces didn't match my quilt, I put tea on them to stain them, or I colored them with a highlighter to make them kind of match a little bit. And then I just repeated time on here again and again and again, because during that period of time, everything seemed to be passing pretty slowly for me. And then I wanted to show the barbed wire and the confinement of this. So I used this little piece to show how all of this is surrounded by the fence, and that's what that represents. And up here, I found another little piece that I absolutely found amazing, how all of these little pieces of barbed wire and chain was there in the material. So then I was positive that that's what that part was supposed to be. And I never wanted my quilt to be without hope. So I put this sky at the very top. And while my quilt was being stored, it got this dirt on it. So I thought, well, that's just part of it, too, because, you know, this whole story is not a clean little tidy story. It is about the mess and how you can get yourself into it. And then I just stitched the case number over there and my sentence on it. So I was finished with this part of the quilt, but it was still tugging at me to do something else. So that's when the back of the quilt became obvious, which now I think is the front of the quilt. And the way I've done my time here is collect friends, join a network of good, positive people. Some of the girls are inmate on here. Some of them are staff persons that I've used other names because I wasn't sure how appropriate that would be to put their names on there. And as I begin to think about it, the quilt then evolved more from the actual time aspect to a sentencing aspect, and how so many women come here, first-time offenders. Many are 10 and 12 times offenders, but I'm speaking more to the first-time offenders that get here, and they have such huge amounts of time. And in some cases, I didn't want the people to become forgotten in any kind of way. So I made this memory side for us. And I put people that's been significant in my life here. And I thought, in some way, I wanted other women or people, I think I mainly thought women, to know what happens with domestic violence, what happens with drugs, what happens when someone is sentenced to this extraordinary amount of time. And so I started writing words and phrases that meant something to me, and the people who were here, how much time they were serving here. If, you know, people were here and got their convictions released and left. Stacy was a lady that I served a lot of time with. She committed suicide here. My heart's a little close to death row because I'm very fortunate not to be waiting there for my own execution. I feel real blessed about that. This lady, this Miss Beatrice, she came here on death row. She was commuted to a life, 15 to life sentence. I put lockdown because we spend some time there. Who else is on here? For all of our mothers, I put this mother's piece on. I put abuse on here because so many women here just seem to have abuse of some kind in their past, and how that so affects people every day, and how it continues to affect people into their futures. I wanted to always honor people that was in here. I wanted to dishonor lethal injection. I put the Ohio Department of Rehab and Correction on here because, you know, it's, in as much as I don't like calling this home, the fact of the matter, it is. So I wanted to put that on there just so we're all here together. And when you're serving time with this amount of women and you can find any kind of common bond, it makes time a lot easier to serve. Again, I just stitched each little piece on here because as I would find the material, it seemed like I could find the exact person that needed to be on it at that time. Even Miss Gurley, she was released during the time that this was made. She had served a life sentence here, I think 20 or so years. And I thought when I go home, I didn't ever want to forget the women that was here. So I wanted to keep this as a memory quote. And for the Sacred Threads exhibition, they took this out into the community. And I felt like it was a way for us to get to go to. And that's kind of how I came up with the quilt. And then it just kept adding on. And, you know, it's just like how life goes. It just keeps developing into something else.
So how long did you work on this quilt?
I think well over 6 months. It's kind of different than if I was maybe quilting at home because of the structure here. You had to, you know, keep the things put up. You know, there's a security issue here, so it was limited how big the piece of material could be, where you could work on it, where you could have it. Once we got them put together, then we were able to bring them back to our living area and work on them a little bit more.
So how did you choose the embroidery stitches that you chose?
This particular feather stitch was something that I noticed when I was a little girl. My grandmother had a quilt with all of these different stitches on them, and I wanted to learn how to make them, but at the time I wasn't able to sit down and apply myself to it. And I found them in a quilt book again. And as soon as I saw them, I thought, oh, some way I have to incorporate those into my project. And there was a lady here. She's on here, I'm sure. Her name is Miss Betty Toole. She was in the middle of working on the quilt. She passed. But she was someone that encouraged me to sew and learn how to sew. And she was, I think, in her 80s. So it was kind of nice to have her here to kind of as a, as my own little, we call them prison mothers, and she taught me how to do this feather stitch. And then this one I thought looked like a measuring stick. I don't know what the name of all the stitches
except it's a buttonhole.
A buttonhole stitch, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I put that on because I thought it looked like a measuring stick. And then just the X's, I thought we could change, you know, part of our past if we could just X some of the stuff out. But the fact of the matter is you can't, so you just have to live with whatever decisions you made and the consequences that came along with them.
So tell me about how you felt about having your quilt go to Sacred Thread. Tell me a little more about that.
Well, when I brought my paperwork. I'm so proud of this. I'm so proud of the whole quilting thing, the whole religious service being involved, mental health. It seems like sometimes when I first got here, I didn't feel supported. I didn't feel I had a voice. I didn't feel like there was too many things productive to do. Until about my third year, and as they say, what you look for, you'll find. So I started looking for something to do, and I always enjoyed the functions at the religious service department and at mental health. So when I got this, look at this letter, is this awesome? I got this letter that said that my quilt could go, and I thought, oh boy, now I've got to really think about that, because now it wasn't just going to be me and the girls here seeing it, it was going to be what I had hoped for, but you know how you get scared after you hope for something and then it happens? I thought then it was going to go on the tour, so I thought I was pretty excited. And then some of the staff members started talking about them, and they said they were going to be in Reynoldsburg. Well, not being from Columbus, I had no idea where Reynoldsburg, and I still don't, but I understand it's about a half an hour from here, that Sacred Threads would take the quilts and do a little honorary project with the prison quilts. So they took them, and I felt great about the project being included. It made me feel like I had fulfilled a little bit of purpose, whether it was inside, outside. I knew I was honoring people, women in prison. I knew that. And then we got our book from Sacred Threads, and I don't know, it just seems like when you're part of something larger, it makes me feel more connected. And when I looked and I read through how different people told their stories through these quilts and what they must have been going through, it was just all part of, there's many, many ways to record time. So that's, and I recorded the time, and when I found mine in here, there I am. I was like, it's in there. It really happened, and it was a part of something. And I know that it's forever preserved. I like that.
Have you heard about the feedback from the exhibition?
No, we're going this evening. There was a conflict in scheduling last week. We go this evening to find out if they were well received. How, because what I would imagine, how I was before I got here, if there was, you know, too much said about incarcerated women or prisoners or crime, I steered away from it.
Well, I can tell you it was very well received.
It was well received. Well,
very well received. There's a lot of buzz.
Good.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk in the quilt community about it. Lots.
Well, that's nice. Because you never know when you have inmate or something like that before your name, how anybody's going to respond to it. So that makes me feel even happier that I...
Oh, art connects us.
Absolutely.
And you know, so, yes. You did good.
Okay. I love it. I love it.
So you had to write an artist statement.
Yes.
For the show. Tell me about that. How was that for you?
Probably the most difficult part. The artist statement was the emotional tie, the involvement that I felt with it and how I thought other people might see it. So when I wrote the statement,
I just tried to explain, first of all, the technical aspects of it, because that was so much easier. It was just technical, non-emotional, and a way to describe the quilt. And then when I started talking about, do you have my little signature book? It has the poem written in the front of it. And it says, turn the hands of time slowly, turn the hands of time back to a time that I've missed and bring those people back. To a time of laughter, to a time of joy. Turn the hands of time slowly, turn the hands of time back. That's what it was about.
So do you feel you'll make more quilts?
I'm trying to make one. My niece is expecting our first baby in 27 years in our family. We haven't had a baby for 27 years. And I'm making the baby a quilt. Thank you. And I believe I'm brave enough to try to follow a pattern this time. I believe I can accomplish the quilt. I believe that when she receives it, that'll start another part of history, because the baby will have the little quilt. They call me Aunt Lovey, from Aunt Lovey. And I think she'll keep it forever. I think she will. I thought maybe I should, then I get overzealous, maybe I should make two. One to wrap the baby in and one to keep. So it's kind of addictive once you make one. I never paid attention to fabrics or buttonholes I just thought garments at the store. I mean, I didn't know I knew how they got there, but I didn't really know that, you know, they were cut out of fabric, sewn together, and then didn't have a project when you're finished. So now it's opened my eyes so much more to what's available through art. I wanted to be an artist when I was 7 or 8 years old. But it was kind of my dream was quashed a little bit. I didn't get to follow through on that too much. And since I've been here, I've learned how to sew. I've made a few things since then. I didn't go to the arts and crafts department because I wasn't artsy, I wasn't crafty. I just had forgotten about that part of myself. And I joined the beauty school here, or enrolled in the beauty school, and now I know how to cut hair. I've taught myself how to play the piano. And I'm looking for another teacher to teach me how to sew a little bit more. You become a seamstress.
But I don't know.
So this was all done by hand?
Some of it was done by hand, and some of it we got to sew on the sewing machine, so we could learn how to sew on the sewing machine. Some of the girls had already taught me to sew on the sewing machine. We had made a community service project, made teddy bears for Marysville Memorial Hospital. So I knew how to do that, but to make a quilt, I had no idea how to make a quilt. I have a good friend here who's a quilter. And when I first started, she was telling me all the technical aspects of it. And I said, well, I really don't think I'll be going that route. No, it would be much more raw and pieced together than that. And now, out of my love for this, I can sit down and concentrate and sew.
So what was your favorite part of this?
Fellowshipping with the girls when I was talking about, you know, the quilt, putting it together, the sense of community that it brought, the message.
And what do they think of the quilt?
Well, there's different groups. Some of them say, you know, some of them are very close-minded to quilting or anything like this, so they thought it was ridiculous. There was others who supported me and encouraged me to make it. And then the older ones, I had to separate myself out of that 80-year-old group, but the older ones, they were honored in their past because they could help us, so they knew how. They could teach the lesson. And my teacher, she was awesome. She, I think she pulled out half of the threads I put in the beginning because they wasn't, you know, close enough together. And she told me, she said, "Joy, when I was growing up, the measure of the woman, something was measured by her stitch." And I said, "Wow, you've got to be kidding me." But she was, it was very true about how she used to sew and how many things that she made. And she, you know, then she started telling me about, she made her own wedding dress. She made all of her children's clothing. And she patched up all of her clothing here. And I guess, I just got that. Maybe I'm supposed to patch my own clothes now that she's gone. I can patch my own clothes.
So what was your favorite part about making the quilt?
My favorite part was taking something very small and building the project. Taking something that probably would mean nothing to anyone else. Some of these are pieces of our linens here. They donated some like old sheets when they got too dingy or too old to use. And to take something like that that was going to be otherwise discarded and to make it into the quilt. It's just, you know, it felt good to recycle and to hold on. It just, I mean, someone would recognize this little piece of material, and someone would recognize this one. You know, material tells all about the person who had it first. And then, to me, it honors whatever the original garment was, too. Because we, you know, we have material, we had some old clothing items that we took apart, and I think that's what I enjoyed most about it.
So now what will happen to the quilt?
I'm really not sure what's going to happen to the quilt. I don't know if we'll donate them somewhere. I don't know. Ms. Wright, do you know what's going to happen to the quilt? I have no idea what's going to happen to the quilt. The project changed as we were working on it. At first, they were going to be therapy quilts, and they were just going to be personal. We were going to keep them in the room, and they wasn't going to be talked about. They were going to be for healing. And then the more we worked, then it grew into something bigger. And then when Ms. Pignatelli came from Sacred Threads, she inspired us to complete them because we had just made the first thing. She brought in the batting part and helped us turn them into an actual quilt. So then when they got to go on the exhibit, and then when we heard you were coming, we were all so excited that we were participating from behind bars. We participate.
So well, I can tell you you've moved a lot of people. So it's a ripple.
How did you feel when you saw the quilt?
I cried. I'll be honest, I cried. I thought they were very much full of emotion. I was very touched. I was very excited about coming here. This has actually been a dream of mine for 5 years.
Really?
Yeah, to find a prison that would be willing to allow me to come in and do interviews.
I'm so glad it happened. I'm so glad when something just keeps on growing. It just starts with that simple little piece of material and grew into a big project. And so it's just one more person that got to have a part of their dream in it. Mm-hmm. We, Kathleen Burns, she had, and everybody was, it was kind of united, kind of a collective project for the word to get out. And I know several staff people that were watching us make them and looked at them more than once. And I would try to look at them to see what they were looking at. And some would make a comment, some would not. And the ones that talked to me about mine was excited to see something done and to see what's really inside here. You know, it's not always the myth that it's terrible people that can't be rehabilitated or people who can't get a second chance or I don't know. There's more to it. I'm not even sure at this point what it is. I know I'm not finished with talking about prison and what goes on here. I know that. I'm positive about that. And how that came about, how strongly I felt about it each time I placed a name on, like here's another person. Look at this lady. Look what she calls herself. The sex kitten. Isn't that ridiculous? She thinks that's funny. So I'm like, I said, what name do you want me to use? Her name. And she said, my name. So I said, well, Gina, how do you spell your last name? And she said, kitten. I said, okay. And she has a very colorful history past. And then, you know what? Then I put this tax dollars on here because there's so many women here. This afforded an opportunity wouldn't be such a drain on society. I mean, there's that to be said too.
So what do you think makes a great quilt? In your mind, what makes a great quilt?
Love, the energy, the thought, the care making it. When I had my pieces of material, I treasured each one of them. The small piece that I call that piece right there, that will work. Love, that's what makes a special quilt. The meaning of the quilt, the purpose of the quilt, the energy that it carries with it, the response that I have, the response that perhaps other people have, your response. I think that's the most important part. Mainly love.
Has your family seen the quilt?
No. They come for 12 years, once a month to see me. And when I told my mother about the project, she said, I'd like to see it. And I told her I didn't know if there would ever be an opportunity for her to see it. And now there's going to be an opportunity for her to see it. And my little sister, she said, well, you can't sew. She said, we don't know how. I said, I can. It's just, you know, it's just stitch by stitch. I don't know how to sew, but I know I will be able to put it together. There's something to be said, something to be shown, something to be honored. And she will get to see it now. I think a lot of people will be happy to know. When I found out you were coming, I told some of the girls, are you sure, positive, that you want your name on the quilt because it's going to continue outside the realm of Columbus? And they were excited, and they wanted to know where all that we were going to get to go. And I said, I don't know yet, but we're going somewhere. We're going out of here for a moment.
Well, and now that it will be on the website, We get visitors from all over the world going to read the interviews and look at the quilts. There's about 8,000 people now a month, and it keeps going up and up and up and up. So people all over the world now see the quilt.
I like that.
And the archive is the Library of Congress, so just think 100 years from now, somebody could go into the Library of Congress and read your story and see your quilt.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Quite the opportunity. Quite the opportunity. It's something that, hasn't happened here before. So I think it's a very, very unique opportunity that all the necessary elements come together right now to do it.
So what advice would you offer somebody making their first quilt?
Jump in. I would suggest that they allow their heart to lead them. They can search through all the quilt books, quilt magazines that they want, but follow the inspiration of their heart. I think there's something to be said for traditional, the Amish type of quilt. And I think there's something to be said about expressing life through quilts. I would encourage anyone to do this project. And I hope the project's repeated itself here so more women get the opportunity as a craft and as an art, an outlet. It's a voice.
Well, is there anything that you would like to share that we haven't touched upon before we conclude?
I don't think there's anything else to add. I want to thank you for coming.
Well, I want to thank you for allowing me to interview you.
Right, for sitting in and for making it possible. And if you have any suggestions for the quilt, I would be honored for it to be seen again.
Very cool. Well, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to come and share with me. You were fabulous. You truly were fabulous. So we are going to conclude our interview at 9:26.
Thank you.